It's time to say good morning to Peter Allam. On this Monday morning, we're continuing our chat about the process around estates. Peter, very, very good morning.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Morning to all the listeners out there that take the time to listen to us. Also, all of those that later on have a look at your website, mm-hmm. our website, our Facebook pages, yours, and pick up our chats. It's actually quite nice to know that there are a number of people that do that.
Indeed.
So today we're going to carry on deceased estates. Last week we spoke about what was necessary, what you need to report it, and then we move on to the next thing to say, well, now we've got all the documents together. What happens next? Mm. So we start with step one. They're basically eight easy steps. The first step is that on the date of the death, it's there for the family to make sure that they obtain, as we mentioned last week, a copy of the death certificate, clearly establish where the will is, if there is a will. If there is not a will, then they're going to consult with an attorney in any way to assist or someone that can help them with estates to sort out the estate. And, you know, they need to put all those documents in order that we mentioned last week, that whole list of them, which is on our portfolios, and then make an appointment to go in and see the attorney, and that's your first step, mm-hmm. is to see someone that's going to attend to the estate on your behalf and help you. The next step is then when you arrive at the nominated executor, if there's a will, or if you don't have a will, at the firm of attorneys or people that are going to help you, the first thing they will do is make a thorough search to establish whether or not there ever was a will. If the will is there, it's quite simple. Then the instructions are in that to sort. If there are not indications of whether or not there is a will, then one needs to confirm who the potential beneficiaries are. You need to give the person concerned an idea of the assets and liabilities in the estate. So that's why we said beforehand, list them all so that we know. You will then, if you don't have a will, nominate an executor anyway. There will be forms filled in, and the nominated executor will assist the family to complete the necessary documentation, because invariably it will ask for the spouse or one of the kids or something to be nominated by the family as an executor if there is not a will in place. In that particular instance as well, that particular family member will these days have to get somebody who deals with their estate to assist. So that's basically your steps one and step two. Mm-hmm. The third and most important step is that the forms that need to be filled in, it's a whole lengthy lot of forms that must be filled in. And that application, once completed, is signed, and then must go off to the Master of the High Court to appoint the executor and grant you the necessary powers to administer the estate. So point three is there. The appointment depends on the Master's office, and at the moment there are lengthy delays. This is like I keep on mentioning something that was on carte blanche. No one knows why it is such. Very interesting to see that the Minister of Home Affairs, those jacked up Home Affairs where they, with the new government, got rid of 100,000 or backlog applications, and hopefully we will get the same out of this. They will be, you know, requested, please, just to make that extra special effort, and the Master's office to avoid unnecessary delays. A lot of the unnecessary delays and the blame that comes on to the executors, attorneys, and the like is as a result of the Master's office not performing. You send something through, you can send it by registered mail, they don't collect it. You can send it by dockets and they don't collect it, and things like that, which is absolutely shocking, to be quite honest. And, you know, they need to jack up their offices in that regard. I'm sure it is being worked on. The fourth one is that once you get that appointment, it comes back, and then every Friday you see in our local newspaper, The Dispatch, the estate advertisements that take place. So the first advertisement is for creditors, goes in the Government Gazette and in one other newspaper in the area, a local paper, and it advertises the death and requests people to submit claims They've got 30 days to lodge any claim. So, yes, you do have those that are known, but this is an opportunity. The deceased had something outstanding that, you know, the family will, the business was not aware of, and that type of thing. So step four is to advertise for creditors to come forward and lodge their claims. That document, you need to make sure you keep your dispatch cutting in that, because the master will ask for a copy of it in due course. So those are basically the first four steps that are necessary to get the estate up and running and into order. We then move on to the next one, which is the liquidation and distribution account. So in the beginning, you will fill in a form that reflects the assets and liabilities of the person concerned. That first form goes off to the master. But now you come to a situation where you've got to do a full liquidation and distribution account. So that there will be a full detail. So, for example, you'll have a house situated at 36 X Street in whatever area. Value of the house, you need to put it in there, say that the value is 10 Rand. You need to back that up with either a water and lights account is accepted, a municipal rates account is accepted, or you need to get a valuation from two or three estate agents, or you need a proper valuation in some instances. So it's got to be a proper one. And then, of course, what goes with that is the liability. So if there's a bond still outstanding, it must come on to it. And that's your details of your assets and liabilities. That's for everything that there is. If they're businesses, if they're shares, furniture, motor vehicles, any and all assets need to go into that distribution account. In there, the party helping you with the estate will be able to show you at the end of the day exactly what the expenses are, the expenses in the papers, the attorney's cost, or not the attorney, the executor's percentage commission and things like that. All of that will come in there, and you'll see then at the end of the time the net value. It also deals with the tax aspect. You need to submit a final tax account and get a tax clearance for the said account, and the account will show you the assets, the liabilities, the anticipated inheritance of each of those that are going to inherit, the income and expenditure of items arising after the date of death, in other words, the funeral costs, the advertisement costs, all that type of thing. In some instances, you know, you have to apply for documents and things like that, which could be at a nominal cost. So that liquidation and distribution account will show you everything that there is that's going to be necessary to wind up the estate and arrived at the value that each of the parties will receive. Step six then is to advertise the liquidation and distribution account. It must lie for inspection. So once again, you back into the local newspaper with a document that says that the L&D is available and lies for inspection for a period of 21 days. It will call for objections. And the objections can be lodged with the master or with the local magistrate's court or with the executor concerned. So it lasts for inspection for a period of 21 days after the advert. So it does not include the day of the advert, but 21 working days thereafter. Once again, Government Gazette and local newspaper, two advertisements, one in each, and they need to tally. So, you know, if you put one in the dispatch on a Friday and maybe the let's say the dispatch on a Saturday and the Government Gazette on a Friday, then invariably the days will only start counting on the next Monday, excluding public holidays, and 21 days is what it is. Your objections, you can submit if you have anything, and anybody and everybody has the right to review the account before it's finally approved. So there's no such thing as the Poppy Act that prevents me from having a look at your estate account. If I believe I have an interest in it, I did business with you, and I just want to have a look and see if you've included my account or something, I'm entitled to that. I once had somebody that said, I do not want so-and-so to see my dad's account. The Poppy Act protects. No, it does not.
Unfortunately, that doesn't count.
That's an open public document. It does not count. It's there. To ensure that it's been advertised correctly. So that's your step six over there, basically done. Then what happens is that after that advertisement is laid for that period of time, you will write back to the master and get a clearance from the master that, you know, you want to proceed. There's no objections and all the rest of it. You will obtain a release from the receiver of revenue, SARS, to say that everything is in order. And once the master gives you a go-ahead and confirms the LND account that he's satisfied, you can then go ahead to pay creditors. You can prepare the cash statement. You can distribute the asset. You can transfer the fixed property, and the inheritance to the beneficiaries can also be finalized at that stage. You know, it's at a stage where it's nearly now complete. The only thing that's necessary is that you need to do all of that, and then you go for what you call the sign-off by the master of the High Court.
Mm-hmm.
So the executor provides the High Court, the master, with proof that creditors have been paid, the heirs have been paid, the assets have been distributed, and requests that he signs it off. That is necessary. It is not complete until that happens, and the master will then, step 8, sign-off, and the estate is then regarded as finalized, and the duties of the executor are then discharged. So it's a lengthy period. It should only take between 35 and 60 weeks.
But okay.
At the moment, that is impossible. It just does not happen, unfortunately. You get your delays. You get delays where the family fight over assets. You get delays where the family do not disclose everything to the executor. You get delays where creditors come in and say, oh, but Joseph owes me money and he's at it, and then there's that extension. So there are a lot of delays that can take place. So the best thing is, like we said last week, be prepared, have everything ready, know where everything is, and then you should not have these lengthy delays. But as I say, at the moment, unfortunately, there are delays that just we cannot prevent, we cannot help. So there, and you know, the time is taken with the administration of deceased estates at the moment that is not appreciated. You know, when you look at it, the parties involved in all of this are, first and foremost, the master of the High Court. He needs to perform. The executor or the agent is there. A conveyancer, if you need to transfer property. The registrar of deeds, obviously, the property needs to be registered. SARS, the South African Revenue Service. And, of course, then you've got the family, the surviving spouse, the heirs and the legatees. So those are the parties involved in the finalization of the estate, taking into account those 8 steps that we have just mentioned. There's a lot to be done in an estate, but it must be done correctly and to run smoothly. It must be sorted like that.
And you'd advise that it gets handled by an attorney. Does it have to be handled by an attorney, or is it just advisable
compulsory, but if not by an attorney, the master would insist that you utilize an agent who is familiar with the estate. So not anybody can do it.
Okay.
These days, they've been preventing family members from getting in and doing it where it's complicated. And the master prefers you to say, okay, you can do the estate, but please tell me who the agent is that is going to assist you. Not to forget that the agent will charge you the percentage that is entitled to be charged.
Right.
Before the work gets done. It's a lot of work. And you know, in my eyes, it's really not because I'm an attorney, but I think the easiest way is to make sure that you've got somebody that knows. You cannot be done by the attorney. He cannot charge you excessive amounts and things like that. He is set with a figure, and that's where you are with it.
And so, that's relative to the estate as well.
Right. So, you know, it's there. As I say, everything, all the liabilities need to be sorted, and then payment can be made right at the end, and then you close off the estate. It's discharged by the master, basically.
Okay. And Peter, you mentioned a time frame of 50 to 60 weeks. I mean, that's more than a year, and that's obviously assuming that things run relatively smoothly. So in other words, if you are in a process like this, you need to maybe just resign yourself to the fact that this is going to take at least a year or more to wrap up.
Correct. Not to forget, though, that, you know, if you deal with somebody that knows their stake, you know, the first question people are going to ask, oh, but how's my mother going to survive if there's no income for her for a period of 60 weeks? Yes, you can provide maintenance and you can provide for expenses and things like that whilst you're waiting for the estate to be finalized and sorted.
Okay.
So, you know, it's all there. It's not a hard and fast rule. No payment to anybody until it's finished.
And
it gets sorted, yeah.
And once again, that's the type of
thing you can check. You can check with the master. He is online.
Mm-hmm.
So they can check on, you know, where it is, what stages it reached and that type of thing.
Okay.
It's an online situation as well, the registration system, yeah.
And just a thought, in terms of what you said about, for instance, maintenance that can be paid so that the wife, surviving spouse, or whoever, still has some form of money to live with, and, you know, things don't just come to a grinding halt. That's the type of advice, once again, that you would get from seeing an attorney.
Absolutely. You know, the attorney will be your guideline and tell you exactly what you need to do, where you are, and sort it out for you. Make it, you know, life a lot easier for the family. Get it up and running correctly.
Right. So that makes sense. And Peter, if somebody finds themselves in a situation that we've spoken about or any other legal issues, how do they get in touch with Adam's attorneys?
They can get us at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent, the little side street where Pep Stores is. Telephone 043-721-0018, 043-721-0018. Of course, the easier way is just to go onto Facebook, look us up, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, add a S to our surname, Alums. Like us there, and you can go in and see all our chats, everything, where we are, what the position is. And, of course, also if they go into your website or your Facebook, they'll find details there as well.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week, and looking forward to chatting again next week, Monday.